In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Christ is in our midst. If you've ever maybe wondered or asked the question, why did God decide to be born on earth, such as Jesus was? St. Nikolai of Zycha poetically writes, and very lengthily writes, which I'll make concise for you. If you were to really think about it critically, and how we think about a message should spread and a faith could be spread and what techniques would be used. At the time when Jesus was born, there was the Caesar Augustus. And he was considered like a god on earth anyways. Full control of the armies. And he was across the entire empire of Rome, which was the inhabited earth that they knew about. Why not have his son be born as Jesus? Why not have someone like Plato, who we still talk about, and a philosopher with a depth of intellect, and who would teach and create a philosophy that would convince the minds for generations of people of its truth, or Aristotle? Why not it be a great warrior to simply conquer? To conquer and bring people under subjection to the faith and to show them that he was the Son of God. Instead, what we end up with in the gospel is a baby in a cave manger. A baby who is born in the silence of the night. Nobody knows about it except for the mother and the father, and then a few shepherds, a few wise men. Other than that, the world keeps on moving. Nothing great happens. We know that very soon after that, even that holy family will have to flee and go away to Egypt. Why such a quiet and ignominious and almost like something didn't happen? Why would it be that way? Well, when we teach about our Lord Jesus Christ, one of the things that we say very clearly is that Jesus Christ is the express image of God the Father. That's what it says in Hebrews. That he expresses within himself the Father, and that we know the Father through Jesus Christ. And that God chose to have his Son born in such a way, it reveals to us something about God. And this is emphasized throughout this season. It reveals, number one, the extreme self-emptying of God. Because if we were to conceive of a way to reveal the truth on earth, we might choose force. We might choose fame. We might choose cunningly devised fables and intellectual schemes. But our Lord becomes vulnerable. He has to be taken care of by his parents. He's just a baby. So it reveals his extreme self-emptying. Secondarily, it reveals the humility of God. A humility that does not knock the doors down to make himself known, does not use force to coerce us into some sort of belief system, doesn't spend a lot of time trying to convince us that he's God, doesn't actually ever say he's God, and certainly doesn't spend time with the religious authorities at that time saying, "No, really, I'm God." But reveals himself in a humble way, not claiming the dignity of his own power, only expressing his power when he heals people and in some of the miracles that happen around him, oftentimes telling the people not to tell anybody after he does those miracles. So God is, if Jesus is the revelation of God the Father, then God is also extremely humble. And there's a great danger with this humility that is expressed for us as Christians, as followers of Christ. The assumption as Christians is that we've accepted Jesus as our Lord of our life, that we have placed him on the throne of our hearts, and that we have received the Holy Spirit, that we've been baptized, and that we are living faithfully according to what was revealed, according to what we are taught, and making it the center of our existence. But that same humble God, he isn't going to try to convince us to do otherwise. He left us the scriptures. As a matter of fact, in some of his arguments with the Jewish authorities at that time, he says, you read it in the scriptures, and if you believed Moses, you'd also believe me. You see, we have also revealed by God this premise of total freedom that he gives to us. Total freedom to accept the message, to ask him for the grace to follow the message diligently. Total freedom to turn towards him, to ask him to deliver us from our various bondages so that we can turn towards him. And at the same time, we have a total freedom to ignore him, to tread upon the faith very lightly, carelessly. Total freedom to be lukewarm. And that puts a great responsibility upon us, because you see, God has already done the greatest act that can ever be done. Outside of revealing himself on earth, he also died for our sins, rose from the dead, ascended to heaven. And in doing that, presented with so many of us lives that initially were powerfully transformed by the gospel and by his message. He's already done everything. And yet he, in his humility and in his extreme self-abasement, it's up to us in some sense to respond to that message, to pursue it. So the danger, ultimately, is that, as I said, we would be simply lukewarm, because we don't have the God of thunder and lightning standing over us, waiting to zap us. We don't have the God who yells at us and coerces us and forces us to keep a fast or do some other act of devotion. You can go out from here in your life and do whatever you want. Now, you may have been warned, and you know there may be consequences, but there's consequences to everything. It's just the way life is. That's not something peculiar to God. It's just life consequences. So it behooves us, in light of this, as we pursue this, the nativity, as we make our way and our journey there, that we take note of God's extreme humility and self-emptying, and that we thank God that he's revealed himself this way. That we no longer would have in the back of our mind a punishing and angry God. Or that we would no longer feel compelled or forced or somehow convinced that we should follow him. But somehow out of his humility and self-emptying, which again are also a manifestation of his extreme love for us, because God has no need to come and become man except to save us, that out of this love we would also respond in love. Now he will again let us walk away, but nonetheless, if your hearts are pricked or if you have any sort of sense that Christ is actually meaningful, that the meaning of our existence is almost entirely justified in Christ, and apart from Christ, there really isn't anything. It's just death and corruption. It is authoritarianism and totalitarianism and a sick and dead society. You'll do it to me, I'll do it to you. It's just turned in on itself. and that Christ, in all of humility and graciousness, comes and shows the way. As we continue through the Nativity fast, let our hearts be warmed, and may God grant us to take seriously our Lord's self-emptying, and to somehow be encouraged by the love He has shown us, to in turn pursue Him, to pray to Him, to invite Him further into the depths of our lives, so that we can be transformed by the all-loving, all-humble, and all-self-emptying God. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Christ is in our midst.
He is.